This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Looking for some positive reinforcement? Maybe don't turn to Sports Illustrated. Who over the weekend ranked everybody's free agent moves so far?
So what, we got like a B, B minus?
D.
Oh.
Yeah, we got a D plus.
Whoops.
Yeah, so for what it's worth, no, it's just simply one guy. You know, it's just one man, and it's his opinion, and it doesn't even matter. But for what it's worth, it was actually from CBS Sports, and then SI reprinted it. But a guy named Jordan Dejani.
Oh, yeah, we've had him on the show.
Okay, well, is he dead to us now?
Yeah, he might be. Jordan, you're off the air.
That's a D-plus, I should say. But, yeah, D-plus is basically where that's kind of like where I was living in like, math and science in high school. I was that bad.
Yeah, it passes.
Yeah, I was, 65, 66.
Yeah, it passes.
You could do better, Mr. Bell.
My dad told me in college, he said, son, you're in college now. You're not going for a master's degree in communications, right. So here's how you play it. No, C's, I mean, get degrees.
I don't know how you guys feel about, I know over in Europe, I know from my Irish cousins, and it's the same in England, they generally, at least, I mean, I don't know if they still do it, but there was a way for like for decades, they would kind of see where your aptitude was and steer you towards it.
Yeah.
You know, and like, for instance, nobody wants to do manual labor. If you're really good with your hands, you know, you make a ton of money in HVAC or as an auto mechanic, and you can make six figures, but nobody wants to do that. But over there, if you're not that good in book learning, but you love working under the hood, hey, Nigel, now you're going there. We're going to send you in that direction. But for me, same thing. I loved English and history classes that you could, you know, you could BS in, you could talk, you could argue about, kind of predisposes you for sports talk radio.
Yeah, they called them when I was in high school PTs, placement tests.
Right, O levels, I think, as they call in the UK.
But yeah, and that's how you and you had the option of taking them. And again, they would sort of point you in a field that they felt fit your strengths. And apparently, Sports Illustrated nor ESPN thinks the Falcons have many strengths.
Yeah, so we got a D plus from one pencil neck who we've had on the show a few times from CBS. Meanwhile, Chris found an interesting article, and I think it's interesting to Falcon fans because it's something that maybe nobody's going to talk about. It's the casual fan that would go, well, I don't care about the assistant coaches or what this guy does. But it's the secret sauce, Chris, for making teams work. You're talking about our new D-line coach.
Yeah, so ESPN did their pre-draft power rankings. The Falcons sat at number 19. I guess you can argue that's maybe a fairish based on the moves that we were able to make. And they also gave one under-the-radar move, and that was hiring defensive line coach Nate Olley. We know how important this is going to be now, especially after the departure of Grady Jarrett. But also, Mike, what have we been harping on? Rook's got to grow. Braylon's got to grow. Zach Harrison's got to grow into his own. Arnold Ebiketie needs a breakout year, and this guy is going to be in charge of that.
Yeah, man. They finished, as you said, fourth for the NFL in sacks last season. We were 31st. And I have to remind Falcon fans, we're just perpetually a terrible team at getting the quarterback on the ground. How does Coach Olley come in and get more out of Braylon Trice? Because we don't know what he is yet. He was injured. Get more out of, you said, Troy Anderson. If his role will include getting after the quarterback. Getting more out of Arnold Ebiketie. You know, Rook, row your boat, and Dorlas and everybody else, and whoever we draft. That's the key. Because we don't have a lot of money. That's why we got a D-plus on our rankings. You know, the Cousins thing, they can spin it all they want. It's a black hole in your cap. We couldn't go make any of the big moves.
No. But
I like Leonard Floyd. I think Leonard Floyd's a nice piece. And I don't know what Divine Diablo is going to be other than a great freaking name. But, I mean, he had one solid year with the Raiders. He's been not a journeyman, but like it's just the numbers are just there.
He's kind of been a journeyman.
Yeah, but anyway, I mean, well, journeyman means he's on three or four teams, yeah, but it's his second team.
No, he is what he is.
But if Olley can get the most out of these guys, and I just feel that, look, if you draft, see, we don't know. I can't crap on. Like, there's things I can crap on about this general manager's draft because you know it, okay? Pitts has never panned out consistently. He's had one really good year, and the rest has been a lot of just frustration. Troy Anderson can't stay healthy. You know, Bergeron's a great move. That's a great pick. He's been a guy we don't complain about at left guard. You plugged him in. He's got attitude and edge. He fits the role perfectly. That's great. You know, we love Drake London. Bijan was a no-brainer. But the other pieces, we don't know. And I have no idea what this defense is going to be.
No, and I think the unfair part of the D-plus ranking or the 19 out of 30 teams or 32 teams, whatever it is, you're not accounting for how good the move was based on the circumstance. Leonard Floyd is a decent move based on the fact that you have no cap space. Divine Diablo is a decent move based on the fact you have no cap space. Now, are they saying the fact that you have no cap space is a credit against you in this argument? I don't know. It says ranking the offseason moves.
Right.
So I don't know if that factors in the cap space or not, but in order to bring back the guys that we brought back and to set the franchise up to go have a strong draft class, I think they did all right. I think D-plus is a little harsh.
Yeah, man, you got money, you don't have money. You know, there's teams, and we always said it, just because you have more money than anyone, generally that's a sign that things have gone horribly wrong. That you've got the kind. The Jets have had more cap space than anybody for like a decade. The Patriots this year were the ones that had more coin. It coincided. The Raiders are kind of in a cool spot now. The Commanders were able to do some things. But yeah, I just wish we had a little bit more than we had. But last year we decided to do the quarterback double down, and so here we are. But yeah, love to see if Nate Oley can improve all of these guys, which some we think we know what they are, some we have no idea. If you can get Ebba Cady to be a double digit guy, where then you that warrants you keeping him and signing him to a long-term deal, because that's it. This is a contract year for Arnold Ebba Cady. If you want to stay with the Falcons, either way, if you don't. If you go for 12 sacks this year, you're going to get paid by somebody else.
I don't know what he's going to be, Mike, but for me, Braylon Trice is the key to this whole thing, because he was a third-round pick, which you don't have this year as of right now.
Right.
So if you get him back and he can give you 6, 7, maybe, dare I say, 8 sacks, that's almost like getting a third-round pick again this year. So if he can be what we thought he was going to be, or even 75% of that, to me that's a huge win, and that's going to be on Ollie's shoulders.
So moving forward, it's just a question of truly is. I mean, that's why it's not like somebody's going to sit around at a sports bar or call over our show and go, "Hey, Dukes and Bell, Chris, really looking forward to see how our defensive line coach develops this young talent." No, you just want to see us. Are we going to crush the quarterback? You know, are we going to finally take some heat off that secondary that looked like Keystone Cops last year? Because if you give a quarterback that much time to pat the football, next thing you know, the offense going, and all of a sudden Justin Jefferson's like running around like there really is nobody out there.
No, it was so bad. And, you know, Mike, that's a great point. Like, yeah, we might not be talking about it at the sports bar about the defensive line coach, but we're sure as hell talking about it now because of the lack of performance of the previous defensive staff. So right. It's one of those things. It's like being an offensive lineman. When your name's not called, that means you're doing your job correctly. When we're talking about you, that means something's probably gone horribly wrong. And that's what happened last year with Jimmy Lake.
So the Falcons now, we wait. And all it is now is the classic sort of next 4 weeks of misdirection, misinformation. We've seen a little bit of it already about some of the pieces. Sometimes it's a guy you want to fall to you, so you throw it at you. I've often wondered that what general manager buys into that stuff. Because now, here we are. We're going to be picking right in the middle of the first round. Are we going to get that impact guy? Do we like Mykel Williams? Will he be there? Is it Mike Green from Marshall? Are we going to go with Shamar Stewart, the tackle from A&M? So that's, to me, those are the three guys. I think it's D-tackle or edge. It's not that complicated.
Yeah, James Pierce is another guy that'll be on the board. So again, it's 6 of 1, half dozen of the other, but at the same time, it's also kind of not. Because, yes, you have all these guys to choose from, but at the same time, is Terry Fontenot going to finally do the unthinkable and trade down in the year when there's a plethora of players available at the position that you need the most? It would be the most ironic thing in the world. He's been bored every year that he's been here, and then the 1 year that there's all the players available at the most important position that the Falcons need, you trade down.
All right, for what it's worth, Pete Prisco, he's a bit prickly at times, but he generally knows his stuff for CBS. He's got us going with Shamar Stewart.
Okay.
So that's a dude that, you know, we learned some stuff last week. I learned something last week that we said, why was he tubby? Why wasn't he in shape? No, they asked him to play at a different weight. And then he shed the weight and he looked like a rock star for the combine. So you can't say why, you know, Shamar Stewart was sluggish for the $1 million or whatever the $10 million class was for Jimbo that never panned out at A&M because a certain defense style, they wanted him to look a certain way. Okay. The article, though, that talks about where we're going to go, they're basically handicapping the first round. Prisco says they added Leonard Floyd to help the pass rush, but he's getting up there in years. Yeah, that's a spackle. That's not a long-term answer. But this guy's considered more of a middle of the line, or perhaps see, that's the 3-4 thing. You can kind of put him all over the place if you want to.
Yeah, he's a guy that definitely has some versatility on the defensive line, which That's what the – oh, my God, to go back to it again. That's what Rook is supposed to have. That's what Dortles is supposed
but
to
Rook
have.
Now with,
all these guys.
But, you know, him and Rook in the middle, that's pretty interesting. He's got Jalen Walker going eighth to Carolina. I've seen a lot of mock drafts where he goes to Carolina.
Yeah,
so,
I don't think he's going to be there.
Yeah, I think Jalen Walker's gone. The one thing that is interesting, for what it's worth, in Prisco's draft, we don't see Mikael Williams. I don't get why he's falling in some of these mock drafts.
Maybe because he doesn't have like one thing that he's absolutely dominant at. He's sort of good at everything.
And that's the argument we talked about with Les Connor Riley about it, because can he be that edge rush guy we need?